morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 18th, 2021. It is 1:31 p.m. and we're meeting in room 157 of the courthouse for a board business meeting. In room 157, President Commissioner Fowler, Commissioner DeYoung, and I think Commissioner Bertrager was going to go via Zoom, so I don't know if that's available out in here, but we'll see. If he pops up, he'll pop up. With us today, we're here to discuss franchise rate review for SOS and Republic Services both. That's item number one. So who wants to go first? Who wants to step into the ring first?
We will go first. Rob's
going to give you a little. I'll give the commissioners a little bit more backstory too. So the city and the county have a 190 agreement to manage the various franchises. There's actually four, if you will. So Republic Services has one with the county, one with the city. SOS has one with county, city, and city of CJ. So there's five separate franchises floating out there. The 190 was entered into as a way to have representatives from all three of those agencies. There's seven of us. Meet on a pretty regular basis to do everything from look at these guys' annual equipment expenditures all the way down to rate reviews like we have today to do we want to expand the recycling program. Our job is really to kind of act like Switzerland, for lack of a better term, to basically say, hey, is what we're seeing from them meeting the needs of the customers? We hear a lot of complaints. We filter them back this way. If we get to a point where we need a rate review, we're here again. So it's really, we do not have any decision power to speak of as a body. It's more a matter of the monthly operations of these folks and all. Everybody kind of saying, hey, is this the best way to spend not only their internal funds, but the franchise fees that come to both departments, both of them, and the environmental program fees, which, as you guys know, goes to the bigger cleanup projects, city code enforcement, those kinds of things. So what the franchises have in them is a stipulation in that the haulers are allowed to make a profit margin of between 9% and 13%. When it falls below that on a two-year rolling average, it triggers what we have here in front of us today. So they both have varying reasons for how we've gotten to this point, but I will leave that part to them.
So is that, before we get started, is that 9 to 13%? It seemed to me it used to be like 8 to 11 or something. Has it gone up? Mm-hmm. Or is that 9 to 13?
Always been 9 to 13, yes.
We used to deal with it in the city, not the first time we've seen y'all. So we kind of know what that part is. So.
Did you say 9 to 13?
Yep. 9 to 13.
Okay, that's
where it's always been.
We're all wearing masks, so.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying.
So,
yeah. I need a whiteboard. Okay.
So that's all I've got. I will get out of the way then and let the two of them.
So SOS is going to go first, or Republic will go first?
SOS.
Okay.
We went first last time.
All right. Today we are requesting a general rate increase for both the hauling company and the Kirby Transfer Station. While we're not going to touch on every rate review requirement, this presentation will go through the information packet. I will also be referencing the rate review packet pages if anyone has any more detailed questions. I apologize for those who have been here for a while, but it is apropos for us to briefly go over who we are as a company. SOS was founded as Pat's Sanitary Service in 1948. We are a third generation family owned and operated business servicing four different counties with our main office located here in Grants Pass. We service over 28,000 customers en route, and we take over 65,000 phone calls annually. As an organization, we have industry standard certifications, industry applicable degrees, and sit on a few local boards as volunteer members. At Southern Oregon Sanitation, our mission is to continue to build a legacy through our commitment to excellence and serve each customer as our neighbor. Our dedicated team provides a variety of waste management solutions and are economical and sustainable to improve the health and safety of the communities we serve. So today, we've already gone through the rate review process through the Solid Waste Agency. What we're looking for today is to have the commissioners ratify those actions. Again, this is the commissioner's role, and the franchise agreement is to make sure things are fair, both between the hauler and the constituents that we serve. So if you look at the two-year average profitability, both for the hauling company and the Kirby Transfer Station, this in the 2021 pro forma in the bold there, those are probably the most important numbers, and that is probably the most important slide of this presentation. Again, we are supposed to be between that 9 and 13% over a two-year average, and we are getting close to the 5% emergency threshold. For the Josephine County, we are proposing a 10% general rate increase. If we enacted this January 1, 2021, we would have a 7.7% operating margin for all of 2021. The last general rate increase was in 2012. Since then, the CPIU has gone up by 14.3%. Other general rate increases were in 2015 and 2018. In 2015, we added recycling at the curb. And then in 2018, it was to respond to the world recycling crisis, national sword.
So the $199 or less, is that a month?
That's a month, yes.
Okay, thank you.
For about 39% of our customers, because they have a 35-gallon cart, so about 40% of our customers have our smallest cart, they would only see $1.99 a month, which...
What's the rest of them?
The rest of our 65, 95 commercial customers, 3 yards, 6 yards.
Okay,
so you name it, but
your figure...
This is the main group.
39% of your people are residential customers.
Mm-hmm. No, probably 80% of our customers. Of our entire customer base, 39% of them, if you approve the rate increase, would see less than a $2 a month increase.
Okay. What about the rest of the other 61%?
They would see the 10%.
They're 10%, okay.
So here's a comparison of rates. This doesn't cover all of the haulers that are required in the rate review process, but it does cover the majority of them. As you can see, even with the rate increase request number, the 2189, that's the 35-gallon container once a week, we are still, for the most part, the lowest price in the valley. This is also pages 7 and 8, covers this graph, as well as the Exhibit B rate sheet starting on page 10. This is our 10% request compared to both the CPIU for the same period of time since 2012, as well as the trash and garbage index. Since 2012, an automated garbage truck, the one that picks up your residential garbage and recycling, the increase on that truck has increased by 33.7%, and the driver's wages have increased by 28.5%. This is a representation of the capital expenditures over the last couple of years. 2021, we are at $1.7 million. That includes two automated side loads, one front load truck, one drop truck, and one trailer. All of those are going to be sited here in the Grants Pass area that covers the majority of the county.
Can I ask you where your new building is in all those years? Because in 19, I think you put in your new building, and that's not in this?
The SOPAC, the recycle center, that's what you're talking about?
That's
not in there.
That's carts and trucks.
That's capital expenses.
Okay, then, all right. I would consider your new building as a capital expense.
No, absolutely, Commissioner. And what we show with this one is because most people are interested in what kind of trucks and how much are you spending on trucks and carts. And that's just to keep our fleet updated and usable.
Okay. Right.
But that doesn't have our building expansions.
Another capital call
somewhere.
Yeah.
So typically, those trucks go up about 3.7% annually.
How are you going to fuel? Are you looking at fuel? Fuel's gone up. Just to me walking down the street, 90 cents in the last 60 days.
Yeah, that's a different, that's the very next slide. That's operational expenses. Capital expenditures are those big pieces.
That would be probably in your operation budget. Thank you.
That would be operating expenses.
But you're absolutely right. What we saw last year was a little bit of a luxury. We were paying less than a dollar a gallon for diesel. We're expecting to see it anywhere from $2 to $3, and that's been built into our pro forma for 21.
Okay.
So this is a specific table that is requesting the rate review. We the combined two-year average profitability under these assumptions, the very last line item, for 2021 will be 6.9%. For the Kirby Transfer Station, which it was opened in 1994 to the public, since that time we have never had a rate increase. That's 27 years. SOS is proposing a 14% general rate increase with all line items raised to the nearest quarter. This is for the ease of calculation and change making. We did see over 20,000 customers come through the gates in 2020. That's a 28.8% rate. 28.8% increase, and currently 47.6% of those customers are minimum loads.
You know, on your first slide, it showed Kirby is back minus 19%.
Correct.
So is it, this is a, you raise it 14%, you're not covering that.
No.
So you're still going to be behind?
Yes. So what we believe needs to happen is Kirby is a standalone contract right now.
Okay.
We believe in part of today, what we're looking for from guidance from you as individuals or as commissioners is to go back to the Solid Waste Agency and say, the public policy should be that the Kirby Transfer Station is part of our county franchise because Kirby as a standalone should be closed. You would have to raise the rates 80% to make it make money, and at 80%, you're never going to get anybody to come in the front
door. You want to move Kirby in with your whole program.
In the county
on
program.
Paper, we're not moving the landfill.
Right.
Okay. No.
The landfill's going right out here. But what you want to do is just amortize the whole company wide, take Kirby out, because Kirby would be a loser, and I think we all understand you raise the rate to get rid of the refuse high enough, we end up with it again on Spencer Creek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all out.
We would agree at an 80% rate increase, Kirby would be a very lonely place. So I think our ideal was, because it's not rolled into our county franchise, is to roll it in, and then as a public policy, you guys can decide, is that subsidy right or wrong?
Gotcha.
But right now, we need to stop a little bit of the bleeding while we do the work to say, should that just be rolled into that franchise? I think it's the best public policy, but that's not my call.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And that proposal's not on the table.
No.
You're just
that would be
giving us a distant early warning.
That's
the
road. Through Solid Waste.
So here's a comparison of the minimum charges. That 15% changed it in the graph. It was a Kirby transfer. But so that is what we are proposing as a minimum charge at the Kirby Transfer Station. It is still below where the Ashland and White City transfer stations are, and they're right next to the landfill. It is probably good policy to have that as close to the 35-gallon once a week charge as possible. That prevents people from saying, I don't want to have garbage and recycling at the curb where you are preventing more cars being on the roads and you just have one garbage truck.
How much is it at the Maryland Transfer Station?
Well, currently it's about $6.33, but we're asking
you're proposing
for,
an increase to
That isn't a sustainable rate either. Yeah.
The approval from the City Council last night was for
to
the 19 range, which is in line with the rest of the county or the other counties in Jackson
right.
County, the haulers.
Okay.
Well, sure, Kate, I wouldn't want to go to Portland then.
Oh,
no. Portland saves some money, what, like $32?
Yeah.
And or the coast.
I wonder how their forest looks.
I don't know.
That's cheaper to come to the forest than up there.
I'm not sure I want to go to Portland at all.
Right.
They just take it downtown in Portland.
One more reason not to go.
So here is another thing it's required on the rate review. I do want to point out the service fees, they grew by $200,000 in 2020 during the COVID bubble. This is people no longer, they're sitting at their homes, they're doing extra yard work. It's more traffic than we've ever seen at that facility ever. it just.
At least they were bringing it. That's great.
Yeah, it's great. They're cleaning up their properties, cleaning up their garages. We just know that you can't clean up your garage every year and expect to bring an entire entire garage full of stuff.
Makes perfect good sense. If you can't go out to dinner, you might as well go to the transfer station.
Dollar a day and all
you can eat. Go on, honey. Going out tonight. Friday night, go to transfer station.
I think this slide also shows really well that rate increasing the Kirby transfer station to try and get into a profitable situation doesn't work because it's almost double the service fees and it's still underwater because it still isn't large enough by volume and being that far from the landfill to make it work, where public policy would probably be, let's roll that into that other franchise and not have three illegal landfills out in the Cape Junction area.
And again, this is in page 18 of the review packet. That gain and loss there, we suffered a couple of trailer fires over the last 3 or 4 years, specifically at Kirby. It was vandalism and people want to come in and take stuff. And then, you know, when steel prices go up, you get people rifling through there. It's probably an unsafe place to be at night. And that's about it. We are looking for ratifying the recommendation from the Solid Waste Agency for both of those rate increases. That is both Exhibit B and Exhibit E of the rate review packet. And if anyone has questions, I'd be more than happy to.
Question, Commissioner?
I have some general questions at the end, so I wouldn't mind hearing the other one.
Okay.
If that's all right, Chair.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you.
So, is our slide up there? Are our slides up there?
It could be negotiated.
Yeah. Making
noise. Computer was out of memory. We only have room for one, sorry.
That's okay. I'll just talk.
Nice,
honey.
We'll send somebody after that.
All right. So, this is going to be a little bit briefer presentation, so feel free to ask questions. There's more information in the rate review packets that came out, but I made this pretty brief. And we do have a little bit different situation than SOS. So, but we are in the same boat with them. We haven't had a true rate increase since 2017, and even then, we were really adding a service increase. So we've come to you for service increase. We've come to you to keep recycling programs going during the China Sword Initiative. But we are coming to you primarily now with a rate increase because we are renewing our landfill contract. So that happens from time to time. We've had a 20-year contract with Dry Creek Landfill. At the end of those contracts, we have a pretty good rate by the time those 20 years are up. We knew that the cost was going to go up, but what we discovered was that our cost will go up 21% for transportation and disposal at Dry Creek. And that 21% represents 40% of our operating cost. So that's really the primary reason we're here today, to ask for a rate increase. But I think it works out well when both companies work together, and we have been trying to do that, so timing is good. We know that Jackson County and Douglas County are seeing really large landfill increases too, and the reality is, we know this because we run a landfill in Benton County, that it's a very expensive proposition, and there are multiple new regulations on landfill. We're looking at greenhouse gas emission regulation, stormwater, leachate, all of the things that happen at a landfill. So it's expensive, and we knew that was going to happen, and this is where we see it. So. The rates, this is pretty much the same residential rate comparison that you saw with Southern Oregon. I can tell you that we have, I just made a note to myself, 52% of our customers have that 32-gallon cart, and they will see with our rate increase, we're asking for a larger increase, 15.3%, primarily because of that landfill increase. And they'll see about a $3.04 increase per month.
What is the $2? It's starting at what? What do they pay right now for that card?
Right now they pay $19.90 per month, and so that's going to make it, I think it's $22.94, if I'm doing the math correctly.
How much is it going up again?
$3.04.
Okay, compared to $1.99.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, and so I don't know when what your landfill contract is or when it expires, but this is really the timing.
10 cents a day.
Yeah. 10 cents a day. So this is our profit and loss statement. And I know it's really tiny, but if you look at 2019, our margin before tax was 7.6, 2020, 6.7. And then we show it at 10% in 2021 with the increase April 1st. Without the increase, it'll be a negative margin because that disposal cost is such a large part of our operating cost.
What's the life, I mean, you probably said, I'm just going to throw this out. What's the life expectancy of Dry Creek?
It's over 100 years.
It's, oh, yeah. I think they're at around 70.
Yeah.
70?
Wow. It is one of the regional landfills.
It is.
And they're collecting waste from, I think, 6 or 8. I mean, that's what the trend is to go to these super large landfills, regional landfills, where they bring in waste from 5 or 6 counties, because the economics to try and have
it's
a landfill, you need
scale
300,000 or 400,000 tons a year just to even begin to make sense.
Yeah.
As an example, the trailers that leave our transfer stations, they have 2 tippers there. The tippers are $1 million a piece. That's, you know, and you guys understand, because you buy big equipment too, it's just not in.
That sounds like lingo, but that means to empty the trailer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you drive it on, you unhook it, it tips the whole 52-foot trailer up and dumps it. That's $1 million bill to begin with.
Easily.
So you got to have a lot of volume to begin to make sense.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
And, you know, as I said, it's a really expensive proposition to run a landfill, but rightly so. We want them to be highly regulated. We know that our landfill needs to be highly regulated, too, and we think the oversight is good. We feel that way because we're doing good things, and we have a good partnership with Dry Creek, and we think they're a really reputable landfill. So I think you're lucky to have that resource.
They can never cut you too off. So it's part of a regional agreement.
Yeah.
I personally am glad it's in Jackson County.
Well, and 2 things to help you there is we have a revolving contract with them, similar to our franchise, which makes a lot of sense to us. But also, they are under that same regulation where the Jackson County commissioners are looking at their rates and comparing it to everybody else to make sure that no one's doing anything that they shouldn't.
Right.
But I'll bet you we don't show up on anybody else's rate chart when they come to get
we're
only 6 months ahead of Grant's Pass.
They just kind of leave that one on.
Exactly. Somehow forget about
it. Your audience.
They show Portland.
Yeah, of course they show Portland. You know, Lake Oswego, we used to pop up on our city radar. And like, what's Lake Oswego doing?
Right. They're not. So I just kind of spelled it out a little more clearly that our rate request is 13.3%. It's across all lines of business. Pretty simple. The franchise agreement does allow us to be within that 9 to 13% before tax margin. But just for comparison, because taxes are an expense that we have and we pay them, a corporation pays 28.6% in taxes, and our after-tax margin is actually more like between 6 and 9%. That's what we end up with, 6 cents to 9 cents on a dollar. So we're just looking at that kind of in the realistic way, just to give you a picture of how we see it. Just to touch on this, and I'll tell you where we're going with this, we don't like coming in for a 15.3% increase any better than you like having us come in for that increase that large. And unfortunately, that has kind of been the pattern, is that we wait until we're really, because of the way the rate structure and the way Nick talked about it, we kind of do that 2-year look back. So we can be pretty much on the low end. We got to get pretty far behind in those 2 years to ask for a rate increase in the third year. And so we end up with a rate adjustment method that lags behind inflation and doesn't really see the true cost of our industry. So those changes in fuel costs that we were talking about, those aren't going to be reflected in the current methodology for another 2 years. And so those are pretty hard for us to adjust to. I mean, slow to react, and we think it's really challenging, as you know, I know you agree with me, for customers to wait for those big increases. So what we are proposing is that we work with SOS, with the Solid Waste Agency, and City of Grants Pass as well, to look at a different way to adjust rates. And that would be to look at an index that we're open to all kinds of negotiation, but the place we'd like to start looking is at an index that is called the Garbage and Trash Collection Index. So it isn't the CPIU, but it is an index that primarily looks at the true cost of our industry. And I'll just show you really quickly on this chart. I know you can't read that, but the red line is this garbage and trash index. The blue line is our historical rate data. So you can see we didn't have a rate increase for a really long time, and then we jumped up. And right here in 2018, that's the China Sword Initiative, when we came in and asked for relief to keep recycling programs. You can see that within that same period of time, this index reacted to what was happening in our industry. Again, it's reacted here to COVID in 2020. Now, our line has a pretty steep curve because of our disposal cost and disposal increase, but we primarily follow that line along. We think it's a lot easier for people to have small increases on this pace than to take these big jumps.
Is there three lines?
These are three different size carts. So this is the 35-gallon, the 65-gallon, and the 90-gallon.
Super.
So what we'd like to do is deal with the rate increase today, and then SOS and, well, we're going to get together, all of us, sort of hammer out what we think might be some good options, come back to the Solid Waste Agency in April with those options, and then start working on a better way to do this.
Right, and try and smooth out the increases so we're not hurt and jerky. We're a little more tied to inflation.
Yeah, and the true cost of our industry, but I can tell you we do this in a lot of other places, and it's just so much easier for people to get a 1.5% increase.
And it's,
than
frankly, it's not like we have a lot of choice today or next Wednesday, whenever we consider it. It's because of the way it builds up.
Right.
The ask builds up, and then it comes, hey, we're almost ready to panic.
Yeah,
right.
and it's just, you know, it's.
That's no fun for anybody.
It may have been a good method years ago when this agreement was written, but we think there's a better way to do it now. So if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer those.
We get it all the time. Oh my gosh, we're a poor county and we don't have the money, and you're putting undue burden on the elderly and the poor and all this. And I think your thing is, hey, it's a, what did we say it was?
A dime a day.
10 cents a day. I think a lot of it is priorities by people. Say, okay, then you just don't do this. Then you know, all you got to do is take it somewhere by yourself, and you're going to that dime pretty cheap. But we get it all the time. Well, I'll drive to Medford for 3% sales tax. Hope you won't.
No, we won't save any money doing that.
But you know, they might do it once. If they're any kind of business person at all, they get it just about to the dam and turn around. Already lost money.
Absolutely.
But I think smoothing it out, you know, a gradual thing. If you can get that hammered out between the two of you and Solid Waste Agency, I think that'd be the way to do it. Then we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
You're just on a scale.
Yeah.
You take that red line.
Keep checking in all the time about rate. Everybody watches that.
The great
just
thing
tell you,
about
okay,
it.
That blue line shouldn't be herky jerky. Why don't you just stay with what the red line is?
Yeah.
And that's your justification. That's your model.
And you know, the great thing for me, at least, is it gives me. I do this this other methodology in about 16 other franchises around from Salem South. And what's really nice is
Salem,
I have
what?
Salem South.
We don't believe it.
Where is that? I know there's a place.
Yeah.
Albany South? Because that's where I live. But it gives me an opportunity, would give us an opportunity to come in to talk to you about what we've seen in the industry this year, what the increase looks like. Maybe there won't be an increase. Let's say fuel does plummet. That probably would negate any increase in that year. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of do a yearly check-in for you guys to understand what's happening in the industry. And it's really proven to be a good tool. I think I see counselors and commissioners a lot more this way, and we're able to talk about what's really happening. So we like it a lot.
Well, and I think from our standpoint, we have a number of jurisdictions, different models, but
yeah,
the most successful models is you guys set the policy and public policy. This is what it's going to be, and if you're between these ranges, then you're going to get your CPI. If you're above it, then you're not, and if you're way below it, then you need to come tell us why.
Yeah.
But you don't want us to taking up your time to talk about 40 cents. If we're down at 9%, well, we're going to get that 40 cents, and then away we go.
And sometimes right. It's 10 cents.
Well, there'll be some trigger points.
If you can hammer that out to where you stay closer to that red line, you could send us that, say, we're right on that red line.
Right.
Yep, hey, you're justified doing that.
Yeah. And
we're
that's
not going to argue
easiest
with you about
problem.
It. You know, it's strictly, I can make my end of the year thing look like anything I want, just to be quite frank with you. And
that's right.
I'm sure that your bookkeeper can do the exact same thing, but you were guaranteed 9 to 13. They should stay within that. It sounds like you're not there. I would be screaming bloody murder. But however, I'm going to get on
my financial manager
probably,
is. Let me just tell you.
Probably not a popular subject, but I'm going to go back in history when pick up a load of whatever. It didn't matter what it was in the back end of that pickup. Was $3 or $4 at the landfill out here in Merlin, and before that it was a landfill up at Marlson, and before that it was the landfill out at top of Foothill. It's a couple of bucks, you know, back then a couple of bucks was more than it is right now. But when we started, and I used to hunt these hills as a kid with a 22, and now I don't hunt anymore, but when I go out Spencer Creek, it makes me ill. And it didn't start. Spencer Creek, and don't tell me Spencer, oh, it's always been that way. It has not. And it started because our landfill charges were way too got went for overnight. Mm-hmm. From the guy out there, because he used to walk around. This was his gauge. He would walk around. I'd say, put your other shoes on. That lowered it down and lowered the rate. But he would walk around and say, that's $60. Mm-hmm. And it was $60, or $40, or $30, whatever it was. It went up leaps and bounds when we decided to slowly be sure to close the landfill out here.
Yeah.
And that's when people said, well, I'll just turn around and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then, and Spencer Creek, if you drove up there, have you ever been up Spencer Creek? We all need to go up there and look at that. That is what we are creating by having rates that they think is out of proportion.
Right.
And I don't know, I don't know how you go to the public and say, you have some responsibility not to do this, but right now it's generational. Out on Spencer Creek, Evan out there, he stopped some kids the other day. He said, what are you doing this? What makes you think it's okay? My dad did it. My dad and I used to come up here and dump trash all the time. And he went, what? Just like my dad and I would come up here and shot up old cars. Well, you know, that's a generational thing now, and we got to change that. I don't know how.
Up until 2015, the Douglas County landfill was free. There was still that mindset of,
yeah,
I'm going to dump it in the woods because I can.
From
my perspective, I think what would be wonderful, because there is money being put away at the solid waste agency level that is earmarked for cleanups, and some of that is used for prevention, but certainly there's a lot of franchise fees coming in, and it goes into the general fund, and you guys allocate it where you want. But I think charging the agency to say, hey, if we don't have, and I might be speaking out of turn, if we don't have anybody that has any cleanup projects worthwhile, why aren't we using $100,000 for enforcement to go after some of these people?
Well, you know, and we talked to BLM, because like Spencer Creek, we have some of those switchbacks are in county,
right?
But most of the time, most of it's BLM. And we met up there, the new Bill Dean, we were up there, a bunch of sheriff, everybody, showing this and pointing at that. We had some homeless people that were living up there, came down out of the hills for their 2 cents worth, and nothing happened. Can you gate it? No. We can't gate it because there's 4 other ways into this area. And if somebody got caught behind a gate when a fire was coming up through there, I said, maybe sign the rest of it. But they didn't sign it. They didn't do anything. And I'm just in this room about 3 weeks ago, Bill Dean and I sat down. I said, Bill Dean, I need you to come back to me. I want you to just take Spencer Creek. One. Not Savage Creek, Spencer Creek, Granite Hill, nothing. I want Spencer Creek only. tell me what it would cost you to go up and clean up that mess on your property. Okay?
Yeah.
Then we're gonna say, okay, so much per acre, so much for county mile or county road or whatever. And then I wanna see, truly, is a landfill, is a new landfill that expensive? When you add in the damage that's done because we don't have a landfill here, and the cost of taking the dry creek is way up there, dry creek's not 2,070, then what are we gonna do? Fill in the Applegate River? I don't have any idea what we're gonna do, but I'm looking at the fact that right now, we're not doing anything about the woods, and you're right. We have money going in solid waste, but that money is used, we're using that a lot of times for cleanup of compounds before they get to the woods. So now we're gonna say, well, we don't clean up on the things, well, then it'll get to the woods. Now we're gonna clean it up there, so I don't know how we're gonna do this.
I know you can't run, operate a landfill charging $6 a pickup load. And that's what we've been charging for many, many years at our Merlin transfer station. And that's not cheap enough to keep people from doing that. And one of the things that we see all over the state is that it isn't necessarily always that they can't afford, but it's more like what you're talking about. It's almost, people feel that it's their right not to have to pay to do that and dump in the woods. So, and some people can't afford it, and we understand that, and I think there can be programs for that.
Well, and it's not just you. But,
right.
It used to be, I would take scrap metal out to Cascade. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you have a refrigerator at Cascade, well, it's $15, take that compressor out. Oh, that has a motor in it, there's another $30. Before you know it,
You
can't even drop it off. They say, well, I just want to drop it off, you can have it. Well, the metal doesn't even come close to what it's going to take, cost me to take that compressor out and deal with the oil in it.
That's right.
Your compressor, yada, yada, yada. All these environmental rules cost money.
They do.
And now the refrigerators are going out there, and the washer and dryer. I took the washer and dryer out there. Well, you got to pull them there motors out of there. I got to take the time to pull the motor out. I always have to do something before somebody else can do their job.
Well, and you can have, you know, if you buy a new one, you can have them haul it away, but you're going to pay for it in the cost of buying that new one. They're gonna get you one way or the other. One thing I can tell you, and Trent is equally engaged in this, is that we've been really staying on top of some overarching legislation that's going to change recycling in Oregon. And a piece of it is called extended producer responsibility. And so Oregon is going to be looking to producers of some of these materials and products to participate in the cost of disposing of them, because we understand that. And I think, you know,
there's, you know, who's going to pay that too?
The consumer.
Right?
they assure us that they're not, but we're
right.
Not buying that. But it will be more like paint care
effort.
And the electronics waste. So you don't pay to dispose of electronics, but you pay when you buy the computer.
I wanted to take on old tires and just, okay, if I'm Les Schwab, Union Avenue, I have a number, a big number, and I burn that into the tire. When I take it in,
yeah.
I'm going to dispose of it. I burned 3306 into that tire because that's my number of where I took that out of circulation, burned it into the tire, and somebody can't take that and go put it on another thing because another guy says, no, this tire's been this is meant to be disposed of, and
yeah.
You can't put that on another car. But then when they come up, and this guy, Evan, he's got pictures of a red Nissan pickup with California license plates completely full of tires headed up Pittsburgh. He went up there and stopped him before he could do it. They asked kids, what are you doing? He says, oh, I pick up tires from XYZ Tire Shop. And I dispose of them. I'm in the industrial park out on Ballinger's. And Ballinger, I go through there because everybody dumps off everything in industrial park and let them deal.
Sure.
Well, my scrap guy will deal with anything metal. But the tires, after a while, the tires all mount up. And I just tell Chris Ballinger, I say, hey, let me get the old truck out, get old Red out, and we'll fill it full of tires and wheels, and we go out to the transfer station out in Merlin. It's $5 for a tire, 10 if it has a rim on. Fine, I'll spend a couple $300 and let's just get it all done in one weekend. And we do that. Then he come by the other day and says, hey, the tires are building up out here. I want me to get old Red fired up. He goes, no, I got some kids that are doing that. I'll bet you do. And the kids will do it for $3 a tire.
Yeah,
and you don't
I
ever look
will.
Back. But nobody's asking the kid what he's doing. I know what he's doing with them. He loads up 20 tires, that's $60 for him. Then he goes and dumps them off, and now he's got beer money or dope money or whatever he's going to buy with it. And so there is some responsibility on where it starts out and the origin of it. Really
needs to be. There is.
But I said, okay, Les Schwab and this guy, have you stamped that in there from Tehama Tire? They have a number. They start showing up in the woods, and you go, Tehama, your tires are over the bank out here. Let's get these cleaned up.
Well, and if we can get some of these producers to be responsible for it, you know, their cost to dispose of it is probably less than having it go through all these other channels. So there could be some savings. Also, I think it's easier for people if you're buying a tire and it's a $75 tire and you're going to pay $78 for that tire, you probably don't notice. It's a little less painful at that point than having to pay $5 per tire for a set.
You pay deposit up front on a bottle of pop before you drink
right,
it.
Right, right.
So it'd be just very similar to that, I mean, if you use a concept like that.
Yeah.
Well, but, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But I, you know, as far as tires go, I don't know if they still have excise tax on tires. I don't even look at the bottom. I just look at the bottom line. I don't care what they
Me
put
too.
Above it. It's like two tax. I never look at it. Yeah. But, you know, there for how many years? You know, that excise tax was brought on in World War II, and it may still be there for crying in the bucket. But, it, you know, do you charge? I think at Schwab, like the last time I was there, when I turned in tires, I got to pay $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
To get rid of them. Then I know they have a big deal out back, but you know, do they have a guy come by? I'll do it for two. Who knows? I don't know.
No. Let's focus.
There's no way to trace it right
yeah.
now. There's no way to track it.
Get in trouble eventually.
Well, and I think one of our issues here in this beautiful community that we live in is we have a lot of state and federal land around us, and until they want to get real serious about cleaning it up,
exactly,
it's going to be challenging for anybody around this table to solve that problem.
If they come from Ingrass Pass, but it's going to you, and there is some responsibility there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The board may want to consider with budget coming around if you want to allocate some of these franchise fees to the sheriff for a part-time or full-time deputy, with the contingency that, hey, BLM and Forest Service come to the table, but maybe you can shame them into helping provide for that and then give a deputy some teeth to say, hey, here's Transatters on here, why he dumped this out here? But if maybe we make the first move to say, look, we're gonna put $80,000 towards fixing this, BLM, Forest Service, what you got?
And we're open to being a part of the solution if you come to us and ask for, you know, for whatever it is you decide is needed.
Appreciate
we're
that.
Open to that as well.
Well, it might be a little late for this year's budget season, but that that's
like
a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Got anything before tomorrow?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I doubt it.
It's a pretty good idea, so I don't want to discount
it. Yeah. It's tough. We wrestle with this probably every other month in the agency, and and the reality is at some level we're not going to stop at all. It's kind of like, you know, if everybody would obey the speed limit, we'd need half as many OSP, but nobody obeys
just
the speed limit.
We
so
save on signs.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I like your often. Offer to work together on this thing. That stuff out in the woods is really starting to grind on me. You know, it really is. And it's starting to get worse and worse and worse. And I can't even imagine. Well, when fire goes up that Spencer Creek Canyon, wipes those people out, it's going to wipe out a lot of houses up in there.
Yeah.
And some of our timbers up in there, so we're going to lose all that.
Right.
And that will be a fire that once it gets started in that canyon, you're not putting it out.
Oh, it's in the view sheds from I-5. There's a lot like could go wrong with that.
Like,
I don't know if Herman has anything he wants as vice chair. If he's even here.
Don't know if he chimed in.
He's up. I saw you had video on earlier.
His name is on there.
Got his name up still.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, the only thing Herman, do you have? I don't know if there's any. Can you take questions out of that or not?
He can't be up.
Okay, Herman.
Here,
I can't see
here.
It.
Yep. Do you have any questions, Herman? Must have caught him.
You didn't tell him we had him muted.
Tying his shoe.
Just thought I'd go for clarity. So I had a couple questions. I heard, and I still haven't had it confirmed yet, so one of you guys probably know, that Jackson County puts the trash bill on their tax bill, and everybody gets a trash can?
Nope.
Never was a thing?
Nope.
Okay.
There are places where that
happens.
There are places where that happens?
Yes.
But I don't know of any in Oregon.
I don't know of any in Oregon that has mandatory service on their tax
bills. It seems like that would reduce some of this.
It is a possible solution.
You have to take a trash can, melt it down if you want, or fill it with trash.
They're required to have curbside.
So we're going to check into that, because Chris, we think Redmond might.
Yeah, one of my employees that was in Redmond, he said the residents are required to have trash service.
The way it's usually done is that the bill comes from the county or the city, and then if they don't pay it, it ends up becoming a lien on their property.
Right.
And so eventually those funds are paid.
Right.
I know, like in Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, they do that.
Okay. Well, and I could see it being an advantage once the whole community decided we're going to try and do something.
Yeah.
That might be one of the tools.
I think, you know, part of the effectiveness and rollout of it is, oh, that house has been empty for 2 years. Why do I keep getting a trash bill?
Well, and I can tell you so that you're aware,
right.
in the county, and I'm pretty sure Nick can probably correct me, we're probably 80% of the households subscribe to our service. So
right.
It's not like you're only dealing with half the people in the community have our service. It's in the 80s. In the cities, it's closer to the 90s.
Right.
How many of those households have our service?
Yeah. And we
gotcha.
Can pull that number too, but I suspect it's very close
so
to
you,
the same.
You can grab a little bit, but it's really that.
Right. Is it worth it for the big government coming down and saying you must, which is never very popular, even in Josephine County.
And devil's advocate, these guys aren't going to want to take their trucks up 9 miles past Pucker Brush private roads, and the folks are going to say, well, I don't want to yard it down there, so yeah, I'll throw the can and my trash into Spencer Creek.
I need a new can.
In the olden days, we always had a burn barrel smoking out in the ark.
Oh, yeah.
And you just, anything that burned, you put it in that burn barrel, it didn't matter. It wasn't very much plastic because everything came in paper cartons and stuff like that, or glass bottles. And so, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. But that, you know, and most of the, say, well, that ought to smell. I said, no, there was a wigwam right next door. It was burning 24/7, burning old, you know, the tailings out of a mill. So those are the old days. And when you went to the dump was constantly smoldering because that thing was burning the whole time. The one up there on Foothill, we used to go in there in the middle of the night with a flashlight and shoot rats.
I've heard those stories.
My dad, when we were little kids, we'd go up there, you know.
I shot crows at Merlin with my dad.
Yeah. You shot what?
Starlings.
But it happened to be not.
Shame on me.
One other point for the board to remember, too, is it didn't come up, but with the profit margin, there is another guardrail there. If they go above 13%, the franchises call for that excess profit to be split between
right.
the.
If you get above that, because that anomaly.
Yep. And to Julie's point of the CPI, if they were running at 13.2, hey, the next CPI clicks in, we will put some guardrails in that says, yep,
absolutely.
No CPI this year.
And I think we're suggesting that if it gets above 12%, we would put a guardrail on there that we would give back that portion above that amount.
Gotcha.
So that you'd have a safety net as well.
Okay.
If you use this ramp, that you can change. That this month it's $22.10 to dump that can, and next month it's $22.15 to dump that can, and it ramps up like this, and you see you're getting close to that 13, you can also ramp it down. Every month it's going to take a litmus test.
Like
what's
gold?
Going on.
Yeah, I think we're talking
annual
about
basis.
A yearly
okay.
adjustment because, you know, just the logistics of that would become expensive. Just the accounting for that would become expensive. But
and typically, most of the other jurisdictions that we work in, it's a yearly one.
It's
not unlike your public works department, everybody else coming in saying, hey, the construction index went up by this much. We need to change our rates to this for this year.
Yeah.
And that because consistency is what the public wants. They don't mind the 40 or 50 cents generally, but what they would hate to see is this month it was 40 cents, and by the way, we bill every 2 months. So you billed me, but then that price changed, and now do I have a credit or I owe you money? And
mm-hmm.
it's easier to say, hey, this year it's going up by 43 cents, and it's going to be that way for the next 12 months.
Do you live in Grants Pass?
I live just outside of Grants Pass.
Are you on city water?
I am not.
Well, you'd sure know all about changes in city water. Up and down like a yo-yo, my bill's never the
does
same.
Does it?
No, I have a GPID bill that's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah.
Well, and then we can talk about
actually, the bill didn't go up, the acreage got smaller.
Well, and one more thing, I think the opportunities here, a citizen suggested the other day, and I didn't think I'd see you all so soon, in one of our meetings, actually, a public comment, he was saying, you know, there was a discussion about Spencer Creek and taking things in the forest, and he was saying, well, why isn't there some reuse opportunity at our transfer stations? And I said, well, never thought about it, you know. I know there's no scavenging, I've seen the signs, and I get why there is for liability and so on, but in this green world we live in, the future may demand that we do something different than throw everything away.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's recycle or if it's, you know, well, I don't have no idea what it looks like, but it seemed like a reasonable thought. It's like, well, that's where all the stuff's going. Maybe if you had something semi-good that you just hated, you could put it on in a warehouse somewhere and someone else could walk through on a Saturday and re-pick it. But
yeah,
like I said, I don't know what that looks like.
Or you have a twice yearly yard sale and that money goes to help cleaning up the stuff that is dumped or something like that.
Yeah, he was talking about doing that on a day-to-day basis, you know, if you had somebody out there or a group of homeless or whatever, they said, yeah, we'll go through the stuff and we'll just and, you know, just set it yard sale stuff.
And I would say, sitting here, just off the shooting from the hip, that both my attorneys and my insurance company and OSHA would say, you are out of your mind, wade through your containers to get stuff back out.
If we had some conversations 20, 30 years ago about what we're doing now to our citizens.
I don't disagree.
So it still can be on the horizon.
That's part of ethanol or Windex? I don't know.
That's part of the big focus on the recycling end of it, too, is we put out annual mailers that inform you know, our customers where they can take, you know, reusable items. And we list a number of businesses locally where they can take those items so they don't end up in the landfill.
And that may be the campaign, but we have to somehow future reduce because landfills are going to be tougher to put trash in and the stuff you can put in is going to be more restrictive and more restrictive, I imagine, unless we get the manufacturers to change some things.
Yeah. Got Herman back now, too, if you have anything.
I guess we should make sure. Hey, Herman, do you have any questions?
If you don't charge enough, you won't be able to run your business. So that conversation hasn't changed much.
No, it hasn't.
Yep.
All right, well, that's it for me.
Okay.
So, well, I have no problem. I think what you're asking is we accept what your proposal is, and we have no problem with that.
I mentioned one more if I could, Chair.
Yes,
the Kirby landfill thing, I hope you got that message, that we want to talk about that in the future as a possibility before the board. So,
So we'll have to schedule you for a weekly business session, do your presentations, and then we'll vote on it then.
Good.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Do you both want to do it at the same time, or do you...
I think it makes the most sense.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll Zoom that one because it's our weekly business session.
Okay. Well, that's
and
a shorter
are you in any time constraints or rush you need to get this done fiscal year? You work on a fiscal or calendar year?
I don't know that is effective either way.
Question.
I think I know the city one is going to be effective in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And
we'll
try to get as
much
notice.
It's not like we're going to push you out there half a year. We're talking about the next. We don't have to do this on the upcoming WBS coming up, but if we do it within a couple, 3 weeks. We're just trying to get this budget stuff out of the way. We're all very busy with that.
Certainly,
put this on a weekly business session within the next 3 weeks.
I would let you know, and that gives us time to do that. We, you know, every month we're incurring this 40% more cost that every month that we go. But I think we could absorb it till May 1st, and that gives us time to let our customers
we'll get
know.
We won't have time to get it within March, but
April
we surely will.
All right,
okay.
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Thank you for your time.
Thank all of you for
coming.
Thank you.
Do we set a record for time now?
Kept it 2 hours, and I still want to talk to you. Today, because we've got another meeting.
What kind of new card did you get?
Do you want me to call?
Take up your office.
I'm
working on my...
Nice.
I bought when they first came out. I bought a 06, and then
exciting.
I went looking. It's 15 years old.
That's
I don't need a new car,
right?
And I looked all over, and right back, and ended up.
So that's nice. They made the right decision.
I'll call your office.
Yeah, I love it.
Is that the next couple weeks?
We bought the base model with the V6 and all the extras, so you get the ladder and the stereo and stuff.
For me, it's
easy. That's the game changer.
And I never had. Right? I have an old
turn it all over
this one, if I go home today and the air conditioning's on, if I remote start it in the morning, it'll turn on the seat heater, the steering wheel heater, the defroster, the back defroster. And I go out there in 3 minutes and it's all up.
You're not playing that or it's you today. Okay, I got Neil to pinch it if you want.
Thanks again.
Tomorrow?
No, today.
I'm okay. Your budget?
No, MPO.
Oh, Oh, no, you go to MPO.
Right, well, you would too, theoretically. You want to get Neil?
I would if I could.
Okay, Neil's going. Got him.
You take MPO.
Take care.
Thank you.
See you guys.
I guess this is mine. I could probably take this.
It's actually noticed to be in here.
Is it? Oh, you're right.